chase after something in your life, some project or promotion or relationship, and then after a while discover that it was just a mirage out there in the desert. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're continuing on with the next message in this series called God's Mightiest Works in Your Wilderness. Because honestly, it's out there in our wilderness experiences that He wants to do His mightiest works. So let's head into God's Word. And please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be telling you about a free booklet that I'd love to send you. It's called Defeating the Devil in the Wilderness. Things are not always what they seem. Have you noticed that? With people, and you know, so often with God. I don't know if you do this, but sometimes I think I have God in a box that's way too small for Him. He just doesn't fit in the little box that I have for Him. Because my thinking is narrower than His. So often I'm focused on a small picture when He's working on a much bigger picture. I'm focused on how I feel and my needs, and He's focused on developing my character and drawing me closer, on pruning me back so that I can blossom. Is it just me, or do you kind of relate to what I'm saying? Sometimes I plan on achieving this or that for God, and His plan is for me to wait humbly at His feet. God can be so frustrating sometimes, don't you think? People, well, each of us is different. We have needs and hopes and ambitions and dreams. Even when those things involve God, it's so easy to go wandering off and leave Him behind. We start pursuing our plan, and instead of waiting at His feet, waiting for God's plan. You know something? The word wait is a word that appears an awful lot of times in the Bible, and it's no more beautifully used than in Psalm 5. I'm reading from Psalm 5, verse 3. And listen, if you have a Bible, go and grab it and open it up, because we're going to spend some time in God's Word today. Here's what the psalmist writes in Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. Invariably, when God's Word talks about waiting on God, it means exactly that, waiting with expectation, waiting, expecting that God is going to do something. I wonder sometimes whether we're not more focused on becoming achievers, on being self-reliant, than on humbling ourselves before God and waiting on Him and becoming God-achievers and God-reliant. Over these last few weeks, and again this week and next week on the program, we're looking at the great temptation, Jesus out there in the wilderness. And there's such a sharp contrast between this wonderful, spectacular baptism at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry and what happens out there in the wilderness. Let's read it again this week. It comes from Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Have a listen. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so for now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And yet straight after that, Jesus is thrown out into the desert. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, says this, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. This is one of the hidden things of God, and it's really important, because we start walking around in a wilderness and think, hang on, God, what are you up to? Where have you gone? A wonderful man by the name of Doug Webster, in a book Under the Radar, writes this. He says, contrary to the popular notion that links the fullness of the Spirit to worldly success, Luke relates the fullness of the Spirit to Jesus' wilderness experiences and stresses Jesus' extreme vulnerability in the Spirit before the devil. Jesus, full of the Spirit, is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, a place of testing and utter weakness. There's a close correlation between the Spirit's presence and power and Jesus' vulnerability and weakness. Last week we looked at the first temptation. It was the temptation to turn stones into food, to end Jesus' suffering on his own. I mean, he was hungry. He'd been starving for 40 days. It seemed logical that he should use the power that he had as the Son of God to turn those stones into bread so that he could end his suffering. Surely it wasn't really a temptation. After all, he was famished. But the temptation was to end his suffering in his own strength apart from God. And so it's a logical delusion. And Jesus' answer to the devil was, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It was a firm no to the devil. I am not going to end my suffering in my own strength. I will wait on God for my provision. Isn't that so contrary to the way the world thinks? I will trust in God even if I have to starve to death. It puts pay to any self-reliance. Now, you might be thinking, Bernie, why are we looking at Jesus' wilderness experience? And how does it relate to the title of this series, Discovering the Hidden Things of God? And they are good questions. Well, the reason we're doing this is because, as I said at the beginning of the program, things are not always what they seem. Jesus was baptized. He was led by God into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And maybe if that was me or you, we'd be thinking, woe is me, and they'd be crying and gnashing of teeth. God, why are you letting this happen to me? Does it sound familiar? But that's not where Jesus went. He cooperated with God and what God was doing with him and to him in the wilderness. He was weak and vulnerable and being tempted by the devil. He knew that it was the Spirit that led him into the wilderness and not the devil. It's not what we expect of God. And it's out there in that wilderness that so often we discover the hidden things of God. When we're under pressure, when there's trial and there's temptation, some days we all wish it was different, but it isn't. This is God's way. This is how he does it. God is a subversive God. We want to build cathedrals and churches with programs for this and that, and God sometimes wants to draw us into the wilderness and leave us weak and vulnerable because his plans are so much bigger than ours. He's so much more interested in developing our character and our relationship with him than he is blessing us with worldly success. That's why we're out there in the wilderness with Jesus. We're out there to discover the hidden things of God, the really special things that we discover only when we take up our cross and follow Jesus. So this week on the program, we're going to look at the second temptation and see what we discover about God and ourselves in the middle of all that. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. When you find yourself in the midst of a wilderness experience, when the devil's out there tempting you mercilessly, God means to give you victory. In fact, he already has. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Defeating the Devil in the Wilderness. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live out the victory that you already have in Jesus Christ. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. So the second temptation that the devil dished up to Jesus out there in that wilderness was to promise him the world, quite literally. How many things in this world do just that? They make promises that they just can't keep. And how often have we fallen for those lies? Today on the program, we're looking at the second temptation of Jesus. If you have a Bible, grab it and open it up at Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. This is what it says. The devil led Jesus up to a high place and showed him in an instant all of the kingdoms of the world. And he said to Jesus, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. But Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now, the devil takes Jesus. Jesus has been starving. The devil's tempted him to turn the stones into the bread to end his own suffering, which Jesus refuses to do. And now the devil leads him to a high place and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, if you worship me, I'll give all of this to you. It's a huge jump from the first temptation to meet the basic need of feeding himself with bread to the greatest thing that he could show Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world. When you and I look around at the world today, we can kind of have it all. I mean, the world is sort of very here and now. We can have it straight away. We have so much. We have TV, the instant reporting of world events. The radio is kind of the same. They have movies and entertainment options and computer games. And so many people these days are connected to the internet. Don't forget the internet. The world is so much smaller today than it ever was. I mean, they'll deliver pornography right to your mobile phone if you want it. And it's not just in the developed world. I mean, I remember being in a small village in the back blocks of India a couple of years ago, this tiny little village. At least half the people had mobile phones. We're so connected. No matter where we are and who we are, what our circumstances are, it's so easy to aspire to worldly success. Even, let me say, for people in ministry. You kind of see the beautiful people parading around, the successful people in the kingdom of God, and you think, wow, I'd like to be like that too. And maybe a young mum, and you have a baby teething, and you have dirty nappies, and you have sleepless nights, or you're in some job of humdrum day after day, and you see the successful people, the celebrities and the glitz and the glamour and the wealth, and you start desiring those things in your heart. All the kingdoms of the world in an instant. You got it? The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to Jesus, I'll give you all their authority and splendor because it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it'll all be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus doesn't debate the devil's authority to say this. He speaks to the devil not with sarcasm, but with respect. The temptation to achieve things apart from God, to have success apart from God, even to achieve Christian mission idolatrously, is out there. Authority and splendor and the world's recognition and success, all the comfort and the excitement and the pleasure and the relaxation and the entertainment the world has to offer. You know, much of what's being said today about the vision of the church seems to fit this second temptation. And take a serious and long look at what's projected as a compelling vision by so much of God's church. Hype and excitement and delusion and success. Every church seems to have its own personalized and customized vision. Where do you find that sort of thinking in the Bible? See, this fits right into the second temptation. There seems to be a lot of second temptation Christianity going on. Christianity without Christ. Success without Jesus. I have to tell you, this is something that I am always on guard over because it's a temptation. Here at the Ministry of Christianity Works, do we have a strategic plan? Yes, we do. And do we have a handle on what God has called us to do? Absolutely. Our passion is to see millions of lives changed one by one as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ through the media right around the world. And do we encourage people to get behind what we do? Absolutely. But there is a line between following hard after what God's doing and somehow getting caught up in hype and spin and propaganda and self-promotion. Each one of us, you and I, are ordinary, everyday people. Each one of us, you and I, have a specific role to play, just the one role that God created us for. Some days we're on the top of the mountain, worshipping and praising, but sometimes we're in those hidden places in the desert of trial and temptation. And there's such a sharp contrast for me between hype and glamour and success on the one hand and what God says to us through Psalm 5, which we read just before. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and I wait in expectation. Jesus knows that. And that's why he comes back with a sharp and direct answer to the devil. Worship the Lord your God and worship him alone. What a great mission statement. Conquers all of the devil's alls with that little word, only or alone. It's so easy to worship what we do for God and then leave him behind. It's so easy to chase after people's recognition and leave God behind. I've decided there's something so much more important than what I do for God. And it's my relationship with him. It's worshipping him with all that I am. And you know, it doesn't matter who we are. Those quiet places are the places where we worship. When all the light and the glamour and the glitz and all the other people are gone, what it comes down to is whether we worship God with our lives. And that's what this wilderness is all about. Learning those things, the hidden things of God, in a way that we just can't forget. The devil's all is defeated by Jesus only.
I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each day. You can read to it, listen to the audio, or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free, and to get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go on, go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh. And may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. Now, let's get this straight. Every promise that the devil makes to you, every last one of them, is a lie designed to lead you astray, to draw you away from God. Because he knows that what God wants for you is the best, the very best that's on offer. What God wants for you is the real thing, not some counterfeit. Let's take a look. A few years back, Coca-Cola had an ad on TV with a really catchy jingle. It went, "It's the real thing. It's the way it should be." I don't know if you remember that, but my hunch is it's God-inspired. See, God is heavily into the real thing. It's something that God really, really wants us to have. Not Coca-Cola, the real thing. See, what we end up doing is we end up making little gods out of the good things that God gives us. We worship his works and his creation instead of him. Have a listen. This is a really good passage. Have a listen to how the prophet Isaiah puts it. If you have a Bible, grab it and open it up at Isaiah chapter 44. It begins at verse 13. Says this, "The carpenter measures the wood with a line and he makes an outline with a marker. He roughs it out with chisels and marks it with compasses. He shapes it in the form of man in all his glory, that it may dwell in a shrine." See, he cuts down cedars or perhaps he took a cypress or an oak
and he let it grow among the trees of the forest, or planted a pine and the rain made it grow. It is a man's fuel for burning. Some of it he takes and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. But he also fashions a god and worships it. He makes an idol and bows down to it. Half of the wood he burns in the fire. Over it he prepares his meal. He roasts his meat and eats his fill. He also warms himself and says, "Ah, I'm warm, I see the fire." But from the rest of it, he makes a god, his idol. He bows down to it and worships it. He prays to it and says, "Save me, you are my God." They know nothing. They understand nothing. Their eyes are plastered over so they can't see, and their minds are closed so they can't understand. No one stops to think. No one has the knowledge or understanding to say, "Half of it I use for fuel. I even bake bread over its coals. I roasted my meat and I ate. Shall I make a detestable thing from what's left? Shall I bow down to a block of wood?" He feeds on ashes, a deluded heart misleads him. He cannot save himself or say, "Is not this thing in my right hand a lie?" Isn't that a great passage? It kind of really points at how stupid it is to take something physical, whether it's a piece of wood and we make an idol out of it, or whether it's a career, or whether it's a car, or whether it's anything else in our lives that we put before God. See, it's a physical thing. It's not a god. It's not something that can save us. And out there in the wilderness, we discover one of the hidden things of God. When the devil tempts us with what is in the world, all that glossy, sexy, seductive stuff, all the authority and splendor of all the kingdoms, it is such a lie. Is not this thing in my right hand a lie? God already gave us all of that stuff, you see. It's already ours. What the devil wants to do is to make us chase after it in a way that's wrong, because in order to have it, he wants us to put him before God. And that is what the Lord wants us to learn out there in the wilderness. And there's only one way to learn it, to be tempted and to reject the temptation. Of the Ten Commandments, the very first one is, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." And the second one is pretty much the same. "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven or on earth or beneath it or on the waters below. You shall not bow down to them and worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and who keep my commandments. Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not provoke me to anger with what your hands have made," writes Jeremiah. "Then I will not harm you." See, God wants us to have the real thing. We turn things of this world into idols. We worship them with our lives. We sacrifice to them with our lives. And God's saying, "No, you want the real thing? You want the real thing? Come and worship me." And that's why Jesus replies to the devil, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." That's what Jesus quotes back at the devil. Nothing this earth has to offer can replace God himself. You know, I think that you and I will spend the rest of our lives on this earth learning that. It's a constant tussle. But as we grow day by day in the knowledge of God, in the joy of that relationship, it so outshines the cheap imitations that this world has to offer, the cheap imitations that the devil tries to wave under our noses. It's such a compelling delusion, the things he waves under our noses. The hidden things of God that we discover in the desert, that we discover when we're being tempted by the devil, is that he wants us to have the real thing. That's what we discover out there in the wilderness with the devil. And let's just take that and apply it to our own lives. What are the things that right now you and I are chasing after apart from God, that we're putting before God? They never satisfy, do they? They never really satisfy. And the devil is sitting there and laughing and saying, "I am having such fun tempting them to chase after these things." We, like Jesus in the wilderness, need to turn around to him and say, "No, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and you shall serve him alone."
much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus. That's exactly the sort of relationship that I pray you'll be living in with the Lord. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge and watch our weekly Christianity Works TV broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of the teaching that you need for what you're going through today. Remember, everything on the site is free, including that booklet I mentioned earlier, Defeating the Devil in the Wilderness, and the fresh daily devotional. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life, to bring you His joy, His peace, and His power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.